This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
8:47 a.m., you're with Joyce Goh and Julian Ng on the morning run. We're looking into some local business headlines. And Joyce, it doesn't seem like today has a lot of good news in the market. Felda has lost a 5.7 billion ringgit in 2017.
Yeah, so this is according to the second series of the AG report 2017 that has revealed that, including that Tabung Haji has failed to impair almost 228 million ringgit on its investments. Looking at Felda, I think the report emphasized the issue of Felda was due to its serious financial position. In addition to its losses of about 5.7 billion ringgit, net current liabilities stood at 644 million ringgit at a company level and 27 million we get at a group level.
So the operational cash flows, unsurprisingly as well, at the negative level, to the tune of 1.2 billion ringgit at the company level, right? And the debt is quite a lot, 7.8 billion at the company level and 12 billion for the group. And I'm not sure whether this would raise questions about whether Felda can be a going concern with such amount of debt. And not only that kind of debt, but also the ability to service those debts.
Also, the AG's report, Julian, also described inconsistent recording of impairments at Tabung Haji totaling 228 million ringgit. And remember last Friday, Tabung Haji lodged a police report against former top executives for misuse of funds and a misrepresentation in a corporate deal.
Well, that deal in question is Ramunia Holdings, which was the TH Heavy's previous name in 2008. So what happened was that MISC Berhad was supposed to buy into Ramunia Holdings through a reverse takeover. And that deal was supposed to be 3.2 billion, but the deal was called off. And now, relevantly, the deal was called off because of unsatisfactory due diligence. And now, as a result, Tabung Haji is sitting on losses as a result of that.
So I guess what the report is highlighting is that they should have impaired that amount. Looking at that, they should have impaired a 228 million ringgit impairment amount. And I think questions have been raised about this. I think other names mentioned in the second series of the report includes the Inland Revenue Board, because apparently granted a non-interest-bearing loan of about 100 million ringgit to its subsidiary Yayasan LHDN without a signed agreement.
So this is supposed to be, you know, when you hear the word Yayasan, it's a kind of foundation, right? So it's supposed to be a charity. And I don't have a good word for this, but siphoning comes to mind. if you siphon 100 million to a charity, then the question becomes what you're doing with that money, and questions of whether the good governance comes to mind. This other deal with the so-called Kumpulan Wang Industry Electric, which is the electricity fund, a trust account for subsidizing the electricity industry. Now, this is very important because this would be used to manage how much money you have to subsidize the nation's power. 2.37 billion was invested in a fixed deposit account without approval from the finance ministry. I'm just wondering, why is it so bad to put money in the FD account? I guess this is without approval.
Yeah,
right?
Because it's without approval. We're not sure. Maybe what is this fixed deposit account about, and where did this money come about? Like, you know, I guess questions as to
lines of reporting, accountability,
again,
transparency, and lines of reporting, whether you went through the correct due diligence to make such decisions.
Yeah, the report also highlighted SOXO, that's the compulsory employees insurance scheme, whose accounts showed 184 million ringgit discrepancy between employee and employer contributions, and a significant proportion of contributions from federal and state governments were not made according to procedure. So many revelations.
Exactly. On a smaller scale, University Technology Mara was a part of the report as well in giving a letter of support to its subsidiary, UITM Holdings, to the tune of about 18 million ringgit. And just related to this, we have Ambrin Buang, who's going to testify to the PAC at 11 a.m. today.
Yeah, he's going to be testifying on the claim that the AG's report on 1MDB was altered. Remember, Julian, recall how last month it was reported that the final 1MDB audit report had been tampered with and that two crucial amendments were made. I think firstly was a section which detailed Jolo's presence at a 1MDB board meeting was deleted. And secondly, a number of paragraphs were deleted which ordered an investigation into the existence of two versions of 1MDB financial statements for the same period, 2014.
Yeah, to me, Ambrin is the good guy, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see his testimony later because after all these temperings were reported by the present PAC, Ambrin actually said that there was no tampering. He, quote unquote, "I was in full control of my audit report and I take responsibility to it." There seem to be conflicting statements coming out of this.
Actually, I think it was reported that Ambrin was present at a February 22nd meeting. This was in 2016, where then Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib Razak directed some changes to the looking at the 1MDB audit report. So I guess we'll all have to wait for 11 a.m. to see what unfolds from that.
8:53, more corporate news. Bumi Armada is making huge amounts of losses as well as having cash flow problems. This is from The Edge Financial Daily.
That's right. The Edge Financial Daily reports that Bumi Armada has told its employees that the group is facing issues pursuing new work due to the cash flow problem. I think there was an internal memo last week informing staff that despite the group's concentrated efforts to improve their situation, their financial situation, I think they've not made a substantial progress with its financial stakeholders. That's what the Edge Financial Daily is reporting.
There's this debt worth about $500 million, and they were supposed to restructure that. This to do with unsecured short-term loans, and they failed to, they missed the deadline to restructure it. And I guess when you want to expand your business, sometimes you need more money to expand business, and that money can come internally from your internal cash resources, or if you don't have that, you borrow money to expand. In the absence of that, Bumi Armada, according to the Edge sources, says that some of this problems would put Bumi Armada into a very sticky situation. And the words that were being used is that they're in a debt crisis now and that the company is in a high risk of bankruptcy. Very worrying.
That's what analysts are telling The Edge. And it is worrying. I think The Edge Financial Daily had earlier reported that the group might need a recapitalization exercise given its highly leveraged balance sheet, you know, and far from impressive earnings. I think another option, I guess, for them is to have a cash call.
But so cash call is a rights issue. So you're going basically to the shareholders with a begging bowl and asking for more money to get over this little bit of a problem. And the problem is whether the shareholders would want to give you money, right?
I think analysts have also pointed out, you know, their uncertainty as to whether Ananda Krishnan, who controls almost, I think, 35% via Objective Bersatu, is willing to pump in fresh capital. Yeah.
So at the end of the third quarter this year, Bumi Armada is standing at 21 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at other corporate news, I think we have Cycle and Carriage Bintang. They are selling their 49% in Mercedes-Benz Malaysia to Daimler AG. And I think this move comes following Daimler's decision to exercise its call option over CNC's 66 million shares in Mercedes-Benz Malaysia for 66 million ringgit.
So this, I would say this is a little bit of good news in a landscape of bad news today, seeing all the bad headlines that we've seen. 66 million, I think, what do you think? I think the shareholders would be quite excited with this, right?
Well, but you know, Jalen, CNC has been receiving a dividend of 11.2 million ringgit from Mercedes-Benz Malaysia for the two financial years. So if you sell down your stake, you're not going to be getting the dividend. I mean, depending on how much dividend you're going to pay out. But I guess looking at what they're going to use the money for when you sell that stake, that's going to be interesting.
You could either collect dividends or you could sell the company and raise a lot of money and go into new businesses, or you could even return that particular money to the shareholders. It'd be interesting to see what happens in the stock market today, how CNC would do on the back of this news. Just another small news, Signature International will be delivering weaker results for its current financial year.
Yeah, I think the Group MD Tan Kee Chong has said that the kitchen furniture maker has been negatively impacted by lower orders, and it does not see this sentiment improving anytime soon.
I think this would be very much affected by the developments in the property sector as well. A very soft market right now, and the recent budget also came up with some proposals that would hit at the property market. And of course, when you make kitchen furniture, that's very linked to the property market.
Yeah, I think one of the group's strategies to boost net profit is to focus on expanding its retail business through dealerships. I think we're going to be looking at all these stocks later on. Interesting to look at Bumi Armada. I think what is standing at 21 billion ringgit for Bumi Armada is their current order book.
Okay, we'll bring you the latest prices from Bursa Malaysia after the 9 a.m. news, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.